morning, Pilgrim Branch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to give all praises and honors to God. And I want to acknowledge my pastor, Pastor Pickens, for his kindness for allowing us to stand and give you what thus says the Lord from us. I want to so thank my husband in the ministry. I always want to thank Reverend Inman. I think he's here in the back. The deacons and you all. Because you could have been any place else, but God saw fit that you would be here this morning in the house of God. God has a word for us today. And God always wants us to know his truth. God is good, and his mercy endure to all generations. We are one of those generations that sprung from other generations. And we have to set the tone for the next generation. So this morning, I'm going to be coming to you this morning out of the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 through 10. That's Colossians 2, verses 1 through 10. And Reverend Price is going to read that for us. I should say Dr. Price, so we'll know that it's a difference. He's going to read that passage for us. So when you have it, will you please say amen?
Yes, we have some pages turning out there. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 10. We won't often leave anybody. We want to make sure you have an opportunity to see the word this morning. So when you have it, say amen. If you need more time, will you say wait? Colossians 2, verses 1 through 10.
And that's the book before Philippians. That's First Thessalonians.
And the scriptures read, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power."
Thank Amen. You for reading the scriptures. My topic is anything goes. Anything goes. The first point is encouragement. My second point is knowledge, is knowing God's knowledge and wisdom. The third point, be not deceived by false information. Encouragement, knowing God's knowledge and wisdom, be not deceived by false information. I'm going to go into a word of prayer, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. Most gracious Father, I stand here before you, Lord, as an empty vessel. I stand before you, Lord, to be used by you, Father. I stand before you, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak your word to your people. To give to your people, Lord God, what you would have them to know. To give them understanding, to give them wisdom, to give them knowledge. My Heavenly Father, we just want to take an opportunity to thank you, Father, because you said that your word would not go out void. And Father, we're going to stand on your promise, and we're just going to trust you, Lord, that your people will receive this day what you have to speak to them. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. And when I began to go through this passage and began to read this passage, the topic that came out to me is anything goes. And if you look at this world today, that's exactly what's happening. Anything goes. Anything is okay. Whatever you do is fine. That is the philosophy of this world. But I have read in the scriptures where God had a standard. And the standards that God had is that anything does not go. Amen. We must learn how to live by the word of God. We must learn how to apply that word to our everyday life. We must know that God is not dead. We must know that God is in control. I don't care how crazy it gets in your household. I don't care how crazy it gets in your schoolhouses. I don't care how crazy it gets in your church houses. All right. We must remember that God is in control. Now, when you begin to look at this passage, he's speaking to the church. And what we're talking about here is that we're encouraging the church to go forward. We're encouraging the church to remember that God told us to walk in love. We're encouraging the church to know that we must love one another as God has so loved us. As we begin to love one another as God so loved us, then we're going to be able to pick up that phone and call that one that is missing in action. We're going to be able to pick up that phone and call them and say, I missed you. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on. But I want you to know that I am concerned about you. Right. See, when we begin to do that, we begin to do the work of God. And as we begin to do the work of God, then our lives are changed and our lives are enlightened. It's enlightened because we are willing now to do what God told us to do. How can you help somebody if you don't love them? We don't go out of our ways for people we don't love. But God is telling us as believers that we must learn how to love one another. And once we learn to love one another, your problem is not just your problem. Now your problem is my problem. Yeah. Why? Because I love you just that much that I want to get involved and let you know that you're not alone. That you don't walk alone. That you don't stand alone. That you're not going through this alone. That you have some help along the way. See, that's what God wants us to do in our lives, to help one another along the way. Not to see somebody stumbling and falling and just walk on by. Not to tell somebody I'm going to pray for you and never open your mouth to pray. Not to tell somebody I see that you're hungry and never take an opportunity to feed them. God wants us to be people of actions. He wants us to remember what he told us in his word. And in his word, he said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're not going to mistreat yourself. And if you're not going to mistreat yourself, you cannot mistreat your neighbor. Why is that? Because God told us not to do it. As we go through this process and we look at this passage, it tells us to be encouraged. That means that we need to remember what the Word of God says. We need to remember what we have been taught. We need to remember what we have learned. We need to keep it in our forefronts to know that God is the one who makes the difference in our lives. Without God, it's impossible, he said. It's impossible to please him. We cannot do that without love. We have to love. That was God's first commandment, was to love one another. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul. When we begin to love one another like that, do you know the difference that it would make in this place? Do you know how you will be able to walk through this life? Because now you're not walking in your own power. Now you're walking in the power of the Lord. You're walking in the Spirit of God. And when we begin to walk in the Spirit of God, things begin to change. Things begin to happen. There is a change that begins to come over us. And we begin to do what God asks us to do. And then it says, many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knitted together in love and attaining to all riches that of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God. God wants us to continue to learn of him. That's what he means when he talks about the knowledge and the mysteries. Because God has a lot of things that we think we know, but we don't know. We have not even scratched the surface of what God can do for us. And God is encouraging us here that we take the time to study his word, to take the time to fill ourselves with his knowledge, not our knowledge. Because our knowledge is foolish, not our wisdom and understanding, because our understanding is foolish. But the wisdom and knowledge of God is fulfilling. The wisdom and knowledge of God is growth. The wisdom and knowledge of God is spiritual. And when we begin to walk in that knowledge, then we can make good choices. Yeah. We can make good decisions. We will not sit back and allow the world to tell us how to raise our children. Because God has already told us what to do. And we have to be mindful that we follow God's instructions and not man's. You look around in this anything goes world, and you see the thing that is missing is God. God is missing out of the households. God is even missing out of some of the church houses. God is missing because what we have done, we have replaced God with the world. We have replaced God with our own mindset. We have replaced God on what I should do. We do not take the time anymore to say, Lord, what should I do? Lord, how should I handle this situation? And as we begin to step back and take a look and let God lead us and guide us and direct us, we will become victorious. Why? Because we have surrendered ourselves. We have surrendered our thoughts. We have turned all this over to God. And now as God is the one who's driving us, God is the one who's leading us, then we begin to do the things that God has taught us to do in his word. He told us, lean not to your own understanding. And we need to understand that God has already set the plan in place. He said, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? So this is letting me know I don't have no wisdom. I don't have no knowledge, not without God. And if I don't have wisdom and good knowledge without God, why am I trying to manage my own stuff? It's going to fall apart. You're going to fail because you're trying to manage it in your own power. You know, God is always trying to work something out for us in our lives. But what we will do, we think he need a helping hand. Right. So we're going to step in, and we're going to do what we think we ought to do. And as we do that, we messed up. We done messed up plan. Then you got to start all the way back to zero. You got to go back. Because, see, God don't have to do anything. So when you start out wrong, you're going to what? You're going to end up wrong. And God don't want us to end up wrong. He wants us to stay on the right path. He said, now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with facetious words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He's telling us to stand our ground. When God tells you to stand your ground, That means what you know is true. You stand on that. You don't let anybody take you off the course. You don't let anybody send you in the wrong direction. Stay the course. When you stay the course, you know that you're connected to who? You're connected to God. And when you're connected to God, there's no failure in that. You cannot fail. And the reason you cannot fail is because you're not driving it anymore. God is. So he's telling you, stay the course. Stick to what you know. Don't let somebody else come in and tell you something that you know is not true. If somebody's standing up here preaching a word and you know that word is not true, don't receive that, is what he's saying. Amen. We only need to receive what is true. There are deceivers everywhere. There are false teachings everywhere. So we have to be on task that we read and study and show ourselves approved. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for his people. And as we begin to understand that God wants the best for us, then we will begin to operate that way. And verse 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught. So, those of us who have received Christ, that meant that we have accepted him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Yeah. We accepted his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We accepted that he went to the grave. We accept that he got up on that third day morning. We accept that, and we believe that. And so what he's telling us now that you believe this and you accept this, I need you to walk in it. I need you to walk like you know that Jesus died for you. I need you to walk like you know that he went to the cross for you. I need you to walk like you know that he got up out of that grave. I need you to walk in that. And as you walking in that, if you know that and you believe that, then guess what? You got to start acting like it. And as you begin to act like it, everything about you is going to change. You'll be so happy to go tell somebody, did you hear? Did you hear the good news? Did you hear that Jesus died for you? Did you hear that he went to the cross for you? Did you hear that he got up for you? Did you hear it? What that means is, when Jesus died for you on that cross, you died with him. That old sinful person that you were, before you met him, before you accepted him, died with Jesus. And then the next thing he did for you, he buried you with him. So that means all your sins that you had before you met Jesus was buried in that grave with Jesus. But the next thing he did for you is when he got up, you got up. And you got up in the newness of life. What does that mean? What that means is that old sinful state stayed in the grave. That is something to shout about. That is something to be happy about. To understand that you do not have to walk in sin. You do not have to live in sin. You do not have to do it. You can choose to say no. Because I am a new creature. And I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm born again. Verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to basis of principle of this world, and not according to Christ. Lord have mercy. People are doing that everywhere. People are lying. People are stealing your victory. People are trying to stop your work for God. People are hindering you. And God is saying, don't let it happen. You know what God called you to do. How can somebody else tell you what God called you to do? How can somebody tell you you cannot do what God called you to do? That is not how God operates. God gave each and every one of us a gift, and he told us to work in that gift, to walk in that gift. We must learn how not to let the world steal what God has given to us, because he gave it to us for a purpose. He gave it to us so we could help somebody else. How are you going to help somebody else if you allow somebody to steal from you what God has given to you? I'm not going to do it. I say no. I draw the line at that. If God gave me a gift, I'm going to use it to the glory of God, because that's why he gave it to you. God is so good, and he's reminding us that we have some hope. He said, not by the traditions of men. You know, traditions of men can get you in trouble all the time. You know, we're always setting up this thing and setting up that thing, and it has nothing to do with the will of God. It sounds good. It may even look good, but it's not what God said. So if it's not what God says, what's going to happen? It's going to fail. It's going to fail because God has no part in it. So we don't want to get entangled in that and caught up in what the world says. Because the world says, what? Anything goes. And verse 9 says, for in him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodies, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. What is that saying to us? For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in God, everything is covered. There's nothing left out. There's nothing left for chance. Everything you need is covered. Everything. So we cannot be deceived or influenced by the things of this world. Because these things of this world have, as we have learned, are what? Temporary. They're not going to last. And if you don't believe that, look at your Facebook pages and this, that. Today is one thing going on. Tomorrow they got something else going on. It's always something changing. Nothing remains the same. It's always something different. They want you to think that it's always something new under the sun. But the word of God said there is nothing new under the sun. He has covered everything from Genesis to Revelation. That means he knows everything. And I am just so thankful to know that because he knows everything, he knew what we would need before we needed it. He knew that we were going to need a Savior. He knew that. He knew that we would need somebody to stand in our stead. He knew that. Why did he know that? Because he knew that we were not good enough. He knew we did not have the right thing that was needed. So he created a body and he came down in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And as he came down, in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, he gave us a right to eternal life. He gave us a chance for forgiveness. He gave us a chance for salvation. So when I think about Jesus, when I think about how much I love him, when I think about how much I need him, my soul gets happy. My soul just want to shout. My soul want to say hallelujah. My soul want to say praise the Lord. Why? Because he didn't have to do it. I think about it sometimes. People would ask, why didn't Jesus get down off that cross? I'm so thankful that he didn't get down. I'm so thankful that he stayed on that cross. Because if he had not stayed on that cross, where would we be? Where would we be? We would be doomed to a life of eternal damnation if Jesus had gotten off that cross. But I'm so thankful that he stayed there. I'm so thankful that he stayed there all night long. I'm so thankful. But you know what, most of all? I'm so thankful that he got up. He got up, y'all, on that third day morning. And when he got up with all power. He got up with all power in his hands. We need Jesus. We need him in our lives. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his knowledge. We need his understanding. Because that is the thing that's going to get us through or anything goes wrong. We're not going to be able to make it without him. God is here for us, and we need to acknowledge that he is Lord of Lords and that he is King of Kings. And most of all, we have to acknowledge that he is my Lord. It's a personal relationship that he is my Lord and my Savior. He is my Redeemer and my Provider. He is my will in the middle of will. He's everything that I need. And we need to acknowledge that. And he said, don't forget. He just wants us to be encouraged to remember the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."